Now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is new information and new perspective. Each of my guests is expanding our perspective with new information in his particular field. My next guest understands there are plenty of profitable new markets waiting to be tapped, even in this low-growth economy. In fact, 42 of America's 50 largest companies are based on exploiting markets that were once new. We'll discuss how to identify and exploit these new markets from his book, Capturing New Markets. Stephen Wunker is the Managing Director, New Markets Advisors, and the author of Capturing New Markets, How Smart Companies Create Opportunities Others Don't. Stephen is a specialist in finding and entering new markets, collaborating with companies ranging from startups to large corporations. He helps clients develop new ideas, evaluate growth opportunities, and improve how they can reorganize and pursue innovation. He worked for 5 years with Harvard professor Clayton Christensen to create consulting practices around innovation in healthcare, telecom, and financial services. Stephen built two solid companies, a telecom startup and a corporate venture for one of Africa's largest cellular carriers. Stephen has also led teams at the leading consulting firm of Bain and Company. He's written dozens of articles for publication, including magazines such as Forbes and Businessweek. He's been as a visiting executive at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business. He has his MBA from Harvard Business School, a master's in public administration from Columbia University, and a BA in public policy, cum laude, from Princeton. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you today?
Hi, good morning, Billy. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I love opening up new markets, and your book is particularly timely because even in this low-growth economy, there are ways to find new markets. But let's just recap, if we can. Credit cards, air travel, video games, television, these are all giant industries today, but at one point, they were all brand new markets. So in today's business environment, Steve, with the increasing change that we're facing, the Great Recession that we're just coming out of, disruptive technologies, globalization, the revamping of the healthcare, a lot of companies are getting distracted. It's hard to focus on new markets. So what are the risks to a company of not seeking out and capturing new markets, even in a time like this?
Well, if you're a big company and you're missing out on new markets, then you're missing your next wave of growth potentially. Even in pretty well-established, stable industries, take car rental, for instance. Hertz thought it had it pretty good, and it still does pretty well at the airport renting to business travelers. But today it has only about a 23% share of the total U.S. car rental market. Enterprise has 53%, and it created that 53% not by taking on Hertz at the airport, but by creating a totally new market in neighborhood car rentals. And then more recently, Zipcar came along, and it created a $1 billion market valuation while Hertz was asleep at the wheel, just doing what it had always done. And for startups, if you're not targeting a new market, then you've got a big challenge in taking on industries where there might be established incumbents who have a lot of resources at their disposal, which particularly in this economy, startups just don't have access to.
Right, and it's a big problem. There's no question about it. Interesting that you should mention enterprise because it is by far the number one car rental. But in that market space today, Steve, the big growth is coming from consolidation. You see Alamo's being swallowed up. You see all budget is being swallowed up. All of the growth now in the car space is coming from conglomeration, is not?
Well, Zipcar hasn't conglomerated too much. It's bought a couple of rivals internationally, but it's built a totally new market space. Clearly, there are different ways to grow, and you can't do one at the expense of all the others. So if you're in an industry where there's clear scale economies, then you want to consolidate. If you look way back at the biggest business success of all time, is probably Standard Oil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John D. Rockefeller pioneered a new market, first with kerosene, then gasoline, ultimately with petrochemicals. But a lot of his success also came from consolidation and just getting bigger scale economies than any of his rivals. So your playbook has got to include a few different moves. But if capturing new markets isn't one of those moves, you can really miss out on not only one of the highest potential sources of growth, but also one that is potentially one of the cheapest to pursue.
All right, that makes real sense to me. So then why do most companies get it wrong when it comes to opening up and capturing new markets?
Well, I think like me, they probably t- took their business educations a little too seriously. and they looked at things from the perspective of what you get taught typically in a business school or in any business text, which is a framework that's based upon established markets, where there is a clear order of competitors. You know who your customers are. You know what the nature of demand is and the sensitivity to higher or lower prices. In new markets, none of that stuff applies. It's a highly fluid environment where you're not sure who your customers are going to be. You certainly don't know about your competitors, and you need a lot of flexibility in figuring out what the answer is going to be. Strategy is usually, particularly for big companies, strategy is a way of allocating resources for the next fiscal year, and it's a way of holding executives accountable. Whereas for a startup, particularly if it's a venture capital-backed startup, because venture capitalists have a real discipline about doing this sort of thing, strategy is a way to really figure out who you're going to compete for and how you're going to win over who you think the competition might be. It uses a totally different set of rules than strategy in an emerging market.
All right. I'm sorry, Stephen. I didn't mean to cut you off. You were going to say?
Oh, I was just going to correct myself. I said emerging market. I meant in an established market.
Got it. All right. We're talking to Stephen Wunker, author of the book, Capturing New Markets, How Smart Companies Create Opportunities That Others Don't. And I'm going to throw an example of a market at you, Steve, that I know that you're very familiar with, and ask you to comment on it. And that is mobile telecom. That has been an area, you know, that's an area that's been around now for decades. And yet here comes along Apple, a computer company, and jumps into that market space. So talk to me about Apple and how they created a new market out of what was an existing established market.
So, you know, Apple is a great example of how you don't have to be first to make a lot of money in a new market. Motorola invented the cell phone back in 1973, and it took until the early 1980s for the first commercial cell phone networks to be deployed. They really didn't start making serious money out of cell phones until the 1990s. So it can take a while sometimes for a new market to be ready to really create profits for competitors.
Mm.
Now, while competitors were slogging it out in terms of the thinness of phones and certainly the price, Apple came along from a totally different direction. And I think arguably it didn't create another mobile phone. It created the world's first mobile internet device. Now, I led one of the teams creating one of the first smartphones. So I was there a dozen years ago when we were really trying to create this thing. But you know, I think one thing an entrepreneur has to do is look self-critically at your history. And when I look at that project, I think we thought too much about a mobile phone on steroids. We didn't totally rethink about the experience that could be there to help users not only make a phone call or do things that we traditionally associated with being organized, but with all that a mobile phone could enable in a user's life. Apple did that. And so now, even though they have a relatively small share of the units of handsets being shipped in the world, they make the majority of profits in the cell phone handset industry.
All right. Apple is a great example of capturing new markets, but you've got others in your books as well. What other companies do you find most illustrative of the ideas that you present in your book?
Well, I think it's very important to realize that new markets aren't just about tech. There are a gajillion examples in high-tech fields about new markets. But if you look at financial services, for instance, you mentioned credit cards a while ago. Mm-hmm. That was a new market. So were debit cards. If you look more recently, index funds have been a new market. Person-to-person payments have been a new market. Almost any sector of the economy where you look, whether it's products or services, started out being fundamentally new.
All right, that's good. My guest is Stephen Wunker. Stephen, talk to me, if you will, about the glut of books on the markets that really address this same subject. I mean, books from your old partner Clayton Christensen to the Blue Ocean Strategy. So what are you saying that's new and unique in your particular book?
Well, as you mentioned, I worked with Clay for several years, and I learned a lot from his studies on what makes for an effective disruptive innovation. What I've tried to do is add to the thinking of Clay, or you know, you mentioned Blue Ocean Strategy. There are several other books coming at this from an academic perspective. I've tried layering on an entrepreneurial perspective as well in creating a toolkit that people can just sit down and start using on Monday morning. So not only is it about determining what in general makes for an effective innovation, but how do you determine that the timing is right? How do you organize, particularly in a big company, how do you organize people to support a new market when most big companies are focused on keeping the lights on? How do you look at a market that doesn't even exist and create an assessment about it that people are going to believe? That sort of stuff, I think, has been missing from the business literature. And these are the issues that entrepreneurs as well as corporate ventures are grappling with every day.
Exactly true. My guest is Stephen Wunker. Steve, central to your thesis is knowing when a market actually is forming. And you've been on the leading edge not only of this from an academic standpoint, but also practically as well. How do you identify what events trigger a new market forming?
Well, there are a bunch of triggers that could apply. It could be regulations creating new opportunity because they foreclose other opportunities. It might be new technology platforms arising that create all sorts of possibilities to build on top of. What you really want to look for is not just triggering enablers, but also a lack of dependencies on other people, whether it's other companies that have to be aligned with your innovation or physical dependencies. You also want to look at something that poses a very low risk of having a first purchase. Oftentimes customers can see the intuitive appeal of an idea, but until they know somebody personally who's experiencing a new product or service, they're going to wait to plunge in themselves. So by lowering that initial bar as low as you can, you really speed up adoption quite quickly.
All right. Well, let's take a practical example, if we can, then, and talk about that. It is in the tech space, but I think it's one that might illustrate a lot of the principles that you just outlined, and that is Facebook and the emergence of Facebook. So talk to me about how that follows the principles that you talk about in your book, Capturing New Markets.
So I think Facebook is a terrific example of a company that wasn't first. It was early enough to establish a dominant position, but it wasn't first. It came on the heels of Friendster and Classmates.com and MySpace and a bunch of others. What it did distinctly from some of the initial market pioneers was laser target a market. In their case, it was university students. And it created the best solution for them and then also enabled people to very easily refer on to their friends to get them onto Facebook. So it had a very open platform that lent itself to linking directly to friends. Now, it also retained flexibility. One of the reasons why Friendster died was because it was too slow of a website, and the reason it was too slow is that it had been engineered to do things that people didn't actually want to do. They didn't understand the marketplace that existed, whereas Mark Zuckerberg was famously saying he didn't know what Facebook would ultimately become. In fact, he still says that. They also looked broadly at creating an ecosystem of partners. If you look today at Facebook, they're not a terribly innovative company, but they're very good at opening the door to partnerships and using those partnerships in extremely powerful ways to keep the site fresh and compelling for users.
All right, that makes sense. Now, you mentioned in your answer about Facebook that Facebook wasn't the first to get into a market. I mean, does that bring up some question? Is it possible to enter a market too early?
Oh, it's absolutely possible. I've been guilty of that with smartphones a dozen years ago. The technology just wasn't ready. People weren't ready to change their behaviors. I'll give you a real example. I was leading teams of engineers in a joint venture with Motorola, and the Motorolans were sitting in these conference rooms using these two-way pagers to buzz back and forward messages to each other, oftentimes being in the same room. I thought, wow, this is just so incredibly annoying. But if I looked at this in a disciplined way, I would have seen the market right there in front of me. That was the market that was waiting to be seized. And BlackBerry came along to create that. They didn't try to do everything. They created a superior messaging device, and then they grew the market in that sense. So you don't want to overthink this stuff and try to think about the market as it's ultimately going to be. You want to seize on that need that is immediately addressable and where you can really make a name for yourself. BlackBerry did that exceedingly well.
All right. My guest is Stephen Wunker. His book, Capturing New Markets, How Smart Companies Create Opportunities That Others Don't. So when do you know when you should be first in the market, Steve, and when you should follow? That's a critical question.
Right. So if there are important barriers to entry that you can put up while still retaining flexibility in your execution, then it's very good to be early. So a big success that I was a part of was creating one of the first mobile phone networks in Africa. We were in there back in the late 90s, early 2000s, buying cellular licenses when nobody wanted to bid for them. And that was a real barrier to entry to others. And then we could put up networks which were just superior to anybody else entering later on because we had scale economies. We had the most desirable customers on our network, and we made it expensive to call other networks. So we had a big first-mover advantage. And yet we still had flexibility to go with where the market was. And as we determined that text messaging was actually a big driver of revenue and certainly a profit, then we emphasized that heavily. When we saw that people needed prepaid cards, well, we were one of the first networks in the world to roll out prepaid cellular airtime in a big way. And that unlocked a huge amount of revenue for us. So combining flexibility with first-mover advantage is very important, but people often overrate how much flexibility they have and the importance of first-mover advantage. Oftentimes, fast followers can do just fine. Look at American Express or Visa, even, coming in way after Diners Club and yet cleaning up in the credit card market, for example.
Good examples. All right, Steve, so let me ask you this, because there are entrepreneurs and small business people listening to the sound of our voice right now. The big question in their mind is, how do you gauge the dollar potential of a market when there isn't any data to draw from, particularly if you're the first mover?
Well, there's a few factors. First of all, you want to look at just how big that market is. So how many people are involved? If you've got a medical device, for instance, that you've been tinkering with in a garage, how many people are suffering from the disease that you're trying to target? And then what's the dollar value associated with that? How much cost does that disease impose on health insurers? So that will tell you what the total addressable market is. Then you've got to think about, you can't capture all the value for yourself, so how much of that value can you reasonably capture? How many competitors are going to be in there? How quickly might they enter because of whatever barriers to entry exist in the marketplace? And then that will whittle down things from there. Very importantly, though, you don't want to go after a huge market on your first go-around because it is too vague and it's probably too competitive. Instead, you want to think very carefully about what are the market segments within that total addressable market and laser target them in a way that is fast and cheap to get to market so you can learn from those initial adopters and also create a track record.
Oh, sound advice from somebody who's been there. My guest is Stephen Wunker, author of the book Capturing New Markets. Steve, what do you want people to take away from reading your book Capturing New Markets?
Most of all, I want people to realize that addressing a new market is totally different from addressing an established market. And so you need a new playbook, you need new strategies, and you need to look at it dispassionately. You know, the challenge, you mentioned entrepreneurs, the challenge for an entrepreneur is that you've got to be passionate about what you're doing. Otherwise, you're not going to be starting a business and you're not going to convince your employees to come along with you. And yet, you need to step back and think about very rigorously, what is that market? What is the right strategy? And if it's not going to work out, you need to be able to tell yourself that before anybody else tells you that and shift course before it's too late.
Wow. And Capturing New Markets is a playbook for doing just that. Steve, if people are interested in what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the book is available on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble. It's available in big bookstores as well. And, of course, we have a website. That's capturingnewmarkets.com. That website has a bunch of endorsements. It also has summaries of the chapters.
CapturingNewMarkets.com. And, of course, you can get that book here in Ventura at Bank of Books, two locations, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Steve, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.